At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Dallas County could eventually host some of the immigrant children who've been separated from their parents along the Texas-Mexico border. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says he's been in touch with federal officials who've given him the go-ahead to identify Dallas buildings that could possibly be used as shelters. The Trump administration's so-called zero-tolerance policy separates children from families crossing the border illegally. Thousands of children are currently in the care of federal officials.
What we need right now is a relief valve from tent cities and dark Walmart buildings into a place where people like the people of Dallas can come in and provide these services.
Jenkins says Dallas volunteers could provide compassion as well as sports and arts activities. He says shelters could also provide physical and mental health care that children need, especially when separated from parents.
These kids are in toxic stress, whether you're an unaccompanied minor, whether you've been separated from your parent, and the American Academy of Pediatrics tells us this causes not short-term, but irreparable harm.
County officials plan to offer a list of possible shelters to the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Jenkins says federal authorities would visit the sites and potentially select shelters deemed suitable, although there's no guarantee children would be sent to North Texas. Along the border in Brownsville, a former Walmart-turned-detention center houses immigrant children. The building is known as Casa Padre, and the Austin-based nonprofit that runs the center is facing criticism for taking in thousands of children separated from their parents. The nonprofit Southwest Key got its start housing around 50 detained children on the border. Marketplace reporter Andy Euler told Public Radio's Texas Standard that the group's status as a nonprofit is complicated.
It has now expanded into, it has tons of facilities in different states. City officials were telling me that the feds are asking Southwest Key to actually take in 1,500 more kids. It's one of these sort of nonprofit businesses that just keeps expanding because there's so much need for it. People around here are talking about nonprofit by name only because they're in charge of so much money.
Euler said even though Southwest Key is contracted by the federal government, there's a lack of coordination between the nonprofit and the agencies that process parents and their children.
People don't know what's happening with detainees. They don't know if, you know, a father got detained with a son and now that son is elsewhere. And I actually witnessed that exact thing firsthand yesterday. I went to federal court and sat for about 4 hours. It was a sort of a massive guilty plea of 55 people who had been detained trying to cross the Rio Grande. And this one detainee from El Salvador said, what happened to my son?
Texas Senator Ted Cruz announced yesterday he will introduce a bill that would keep families together while their immigration cases are heard. He calls it the Protect Kids and Parents Act. The bill would also double the number of federal immigration judges and expedite asylum hearings. That's very different from what Cruz told KERA's Chris Boyd earlier this month when he defended the federal crackdown on immigration, including the separation of families.
The Trump administration is endeavoring, when people cross illegally, to arrest them, not to let them go. And so if they have kids, you know, there's actually a court order that prevents keeping the kids with the parents when you put the parents in jail. So when you see reporters, when you say Democrats saying don't separate kids from their parents, what they're really saying is don't arrest illegal aliens.
Cruz's about face came after a weekend protest outside a detention center in the border town of Tornillo. Democrat Beto O'Rourke led the protest. He represents the area and nearby El Paso in Congress and is challenging Cruz for a Senate seat this November. KERA's project, One Crisis Away, has looked at life on the financial edge for 5 years now. 5 years that have seen an economic boom in North Texas. Today, we're starting a new series to look at how that boom has affected people who've been one crisis away from financial disaster. It's called Still on the Edge. And to start, we'll look at new research from the Communities Foundation of Texas and the left-leaning Center for Public Policy Priorities. KERA's Courtney Collins talks with the center's Francis DeVinny about how, despite the boom, this area still struggles with poverty and inequality.
Francis DeVinny, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
This new study tackles everything from demographics to housing, and one number stood out to me: how median income has changed in Dallas County from 1999 to 2015.
It was a stark decline that we weren't even expecting. What we saw was that in Dallas County, median incomes, that means it's like the income where 50% people make more, 50% make less, there was a 16% decline over about a 15-year period. That's huge. In Texas, it was only 2%.
As a researcher, what does that say to you? You know, what does it mean when unemployment is low and median income is actually dropping so significantly?
It's really something that we're seeing not just in Dallas County, but across the country. What happened, and particularly what's happened in Texas, is that after the Great Recession, we saw a great loss of good middle-wage jobs. You'd have one job, put food on the table, put gas in the car, get the school supplies, everything you needed. And the jobs that came back to fill those lost jobs were lower-paying jobs, jobs that maybe didn't have health insurance, that didn't pay the same wage. And so families were then having to work two jobs or have a side hustle.
How does income track for the top and the bottom earners in Dallas County?
There was a pretty big income decline for the people who made the least amount of money and a big income increase for the people who made the most money. Now, many of your listeners will say, you know, old story. We've heard that before. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. What was surprising was when you compared it to Texas overall, even the lowest incomes over a 10-year period saw a little bit of an increase, bigger for the people who made more money, but they still saw an increase. Whereas in Dallas County, the bottom 4/5 of earners saw decreases, and it was only that top fifth, that top 20%, that saw an increase.
This report really focuses on segregation, and not just racial and ethnic segregation. How is Dallas County segregated?
For the most part, you have more opportunities. So you've got more people with higher education degrees. They're going to be starting more businesses. They're going to be creating opportunities for their kids because they have more resources. And all of that's being kind of clustered in north central Dallas County. Whereas when you spread across the county, you're not seeing that same level of academic engagement, academic completion, jobs that pay higher income amount. And that maps onto the racial ethnic segregation that's in the city as well. What many people don't realize is that the racial ethnic segregation that happens in many American cities, Dallas included, happened by choice. It happened because of policy decisions that were made often 100, 200 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, about where people were allowed to build a house, buy a house. Could you get a loan? Could you get a loan to buy a house in a certain area? And often that was predicted by a person's race or ethnicity. We see that in the wealth that's being passed down from generation to generation. Were you able to buy a house? Did that house appreciate in value? Could you leave that to your children when you passed away? Could you leverage it to send your kid to college? And those things build on each other over time so that, again, you go back to this idea of rich getting richer, poorer getting poorer.
How stark are the racial disparities in income?
African-American families, on average, were making about 54 cents for every dollar that was being earned by a white family. And Hispanics were only slightly higher at 58 cents to the dollar.
Are things tougher for renters or homeowners in Dallas County?
One of the measures that we often talk about is a family gets into financial trouble very often when they pay more than 30% of their income on rent or mortgage. For people who own their home, about 1/3 of those folks spend more than one of every three of their dollars on housing. But when you're looking at renters, about half spend more than a third of their income on housing.
How has life on the financial edge changed in that time?
I think what's become harder is to get those educational opportunities, those training opportunities that are becoming more and more necessary every year to get good paying jobs. So many of our jobs require post-secondary certification. For a plumber, you need to get a plumber's license, or you need to be trained to drive an ambulance. And if you don't have the resources, the availability of time and money to get those certifications, you're kind of trapped.
Frances DeVinny, thanks for taking the time for this.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can explore the study on our website, kera.org/onecrisisaway. The research is by the Center for Public Policy Priorities and the Communities Foundation of Texas, which is a funder of KERA's One Crisis Away initiative. For the evening, cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain later on tonight with a low around 75. At 6:30, this is KERA News.